This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with us via Zoom today the one and only Dr. Paula Stewart, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds Grenfell and Lanark District Health Unit. Welcome back, Doctor.
Thank you. Yeah, good to be here again. I would come if there's anything new. There's
yes,
new,
you did.
So I came.
I have a feeling, though, that if we just invited you, you'd come on anyway.
That's so true.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
True.
Listen, before we get started, I know you can't say much right now, but you are retiring at the end of next month, and a successor has been chosen. We spoke just a little bit off air, and I got to tell you, your excitement over this selection is very reassuring.
Yeah. So Dr. Lena Lee did a training with us when she was doing her residency program at Queen's University. So she knows the health unit, she knows the region, and she's very excited about coming back. So she finished her residency program. She worked at Grey Bruce, which is a similar kind of health unit to ours, Grey Bruce Owen Sound. And then she's been working with Toronto Public Health, really heavily involved in the COVID response. So she's got some good experience under her belt, as well as really knowing the region. And she's so excited about coming. So it's wonderful.
Excellent. Well, we're, like I said, your excitement is reassuring. So we look forward to speaking with her in the future. To business at hand, though, you wanted to come back on today because there have been some changes to report in the pandemic situation in Lanark, Leeds and Grenville. I noticed today that there was another fatality that was added to the total, first one in several weeks.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it's just a sign of where we are. Following our the surveillance report, we've had a steady increase in the number of new infections over the past month. I thought at the beginning of last week, oh, maybe it's going to settle down, but then it's just continued to go up. And if there are more people who have COVID, then there's a greater chance that the virus will find someone who's susceptible. So our hospitalizations, remember, we almost had like a 2-week period when I don't think we had any hospitalizations. Like we were really doing well. And now we have five or six that are in hospital. Like, I think it's just that when more people get sick, then more people could get seriously sick and our first death in quite a long time. So it really just, and it's because people are out and about now, so the virus can find people. And this particular variant of Omicron seems to be more transmissible. Each time the virus changes a bit, it changes on its spike protein, which allows it to enter the cell. So this one has figured out a really good way of getting into the cell, which means that it gets in quickly. It means that it replicates. And it means that there's more virus that's created and a greater chance of spread. So I think just everyone know that and think about what you're doing. And think about when there is a higher risk, so there are more people, close environment, think about wearing your mask. So you know all the things that you can be doing to protect yourself. Know that the risk is higher in the community now. So think about whether there's any protection you want to add. I think that's it. And keep on living.
Yeah. And people are doing that. They are living. I know of many people who are living, enjoying it, but they're also being extremely careful as they do that. And it's a summer like we haven't had in many years, which is really good to have.
Yeah,
You also wanted to comment on wastewater levels.
So our wastewater levels, it's interesting. They climbed, they went down a little bit and they're climbing a little bit again. But across the province, the wastewater levels are increasing. So this isn't just us, this is across the province. And the ones in Ottawa are really significantly high. And that's a measure because we can only test some people now with symptoms of COVID, then that's a measure of what's happening in the population as a whole. That it's our best indicator of what's happening broadly. And the fact that it's increasing along with the increase in the cases that we can detect suggests that it's widespread. And looking at, we're seeing it all across the region. So just know that. Mm-hmm. And take precautions as you need to really protect those people around you that have chronic health conditions. Like all the things that we've been doing up to now, we just keep on. And knowing that the risk is a little higher now.
Well, exactly. And that's why we share this information, right? Because it's kind of like a scale and you need to know the higher the number gets, the more careful you have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
We wanted to talk as well about something that's been in the news quite a lot lately, and that's the booster vaccine, the fourth dose. Now, everyone who's an adult can get it, or is it five up?
Yeah, 18 plus.
18 plus. Okay, who can get it? So you have some information on that to share with us.
Yeah, so we've had a ton of people emailing us, calling us, webmailing us. I'm 48 years old. I don't have any health conditions. I really want to get the booster in the fall. Should I get the booster now? And it's really an individual decision. But I think the things to think about now is that the fall vaccine will likely come in September, hopefully the bivalent one. So it'll have both the original and it will have the Omicron, the messaging to create the Omicron spike so you can get an antibody development against it. Likely, because we'll, just like before, we'll get more vaccine as the fall goes on, simply because they have to produce so much of it. So early on, I would expect that the eligibility initially will be that 70 plus age group, the immune compromised, the usual, like just like we've had before. So those people for sure, I think, should make sure that they got their fourth dose like now, so that the 3 months, August, September, October, that would be the earliest they could get it. And for everyone else, I think it's more likely that the vaccine will come October, November, that the people under age 60 would likely have it. So you need to make sure if you're going to get the fourth booster dose that you get it 3 months before that. So we're pretty much at that now. And I think that, so think about that, because I think it'll be really important to get that fall booster dose. And the longer you wait between doses of vaccine, the better immune response you get and longer. So if you wait 5 or 6 months between booster doses or longer, you're going to get a much better response that will last you longer. So think about that as well. And the reasons why you might think about getting the fourth booster dose now, if you're under 60, is if you have serious underlying conditions. So diabetes, COPD, we've talked about this before. Or if you're around someone who could get seriously sick with COVID, that would be another reason. If you have, you're working in a place where there might be people who could get really sick, so long-term care retirement home. And the fourth one is if you're going to be someplace where there's a higher risk of transmission. So I know someone who's going on a cruise in Europe, and Europe, the numbers are just exploding. So he got the fourth dose to give him a response because he's concerned about where he's going.
Plus he's going on a cruise too.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it sounded good in February.
Yeah, I bet.
So it's really, it's a judgment. It's thinking, which is so much about what I've been saying all along, right? Think about your own situation and knowing that you have to wait at least 3 months from, if you get a dose now, you have to wait at least 3 months before you can get another one. Better to wait the 5 or 6. And you really want to get that fall booster dose because that's going to carry you all through the winter. So I thought I'd bring that to people because we've had a lot of questions about it. Hopefully that will help with your individual decisions. It really is an individual decision though.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I mean, to boil it down, it's like people now have the choice of either getting, they can get COVID, you know, their fourth booster now if they're eligible. And I think a lot of people who had the third doses are probably eligible now, you know, because there was that big surge.
Yeah, they all should be now. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can wait for like the vaccine special edition to come out.
Special edition. I love that.
which would be at a great time because as you mentioned, that's when people are going back inside, you know, more people are spending time inside at restaurants and arenas and places like that as it gets cooler. So yeah, it really, I guess it really depends on your situation. I like that we have choice.
It is nice. And we had talked before about people who were 59 were saying, I have COPD. I remember that one forever. I have COPD, I'm 59, really want to get it. And I said, well, not yet, but they could now. But yeah, hopefully they've gotten it already.
Yeah.
So that they can still be ready for the fall one.
I you probably don't have the numbers in front of you, but I know that there were concerns about the amount of people who were getting the third doses. Have you seen any sort of influx in the number of people? I know it was especially in the younger demographics who had been.
It was less than 50%. Yeah. Most people coming in now are fourth doses.
So the message is still there.
Oh, still there for the third dose for sure. But if you're at this point in time, you're going to have to really think that out carefully, because you'll want to get, if you've only had two doses, you'll want to get that fall dose just as soon as you can. So if you can be careful over the summer and wait till October versus getting that third dose right now, then you could still get August, September, in November. So it's sort of a numbers game a little bit.
Absolutely.
But
So act.
you're probably better off to get the third dose now, as I think about it. Get the third dose now. And then if you have to wait till November, December, you're going to have all that vaccine support from on the third dose. And just with two doses is not enough. You need that third booster.
Yeah, and there's so many of us who are waiting anyway because a lot of us do want that special edition, so we're going to hang on, and it's going to be even longer than what people getting it now would have. Speaking of people getting the vaccine, we wanted to talk a little bit about the children's vaccine and the offering from Moderna. This is something that you and I have talked about many, many times.
And it's going to happen sooner than we thought, because we had been told sort of end of August, but Health Canada has approved it. NACI has given their recommendations, the National Advisory Committee on Immunization. And so we're expecting to get vaccine toward the end of next week or early in August. So we are planning for the clinics now. So I thought I would share with the listeners what NACI said in their summary. And you can type in NACI COVID, and you'll get right into the website. And I find it very readable. Now, maybe I'm a physician, so that helps, but I think anyone could read that, and there's really good information there. The reason we're excited about this is COVID can be really serious on little kids. And we've had a lot of hospitalizations in children under the age of five. And that's because, unlike Delta, that loved the alveolar sacs, it loved the lung sacs and caused pneumonia, Omicron prefers the bronchial tubes. And in little kids, you can just imagine how small their lower airways are, how small they are. And routinely, we get kids who are really, really sick with an RSV virus that affects those lower bronchioles. And Omicron likes those lower bronchioles as well. So just imagine you've got these small little airways that get inflamed, and kids have trouble breathing. And so then they end up in hospital, end up in ICU. So that, there's a higher risk among those little children that they're going to have trouble breathing than among the older kids, simply because of the size of the bronchioles. And then you can imagine kids who are premature, who might have had lung conditions or heart conditions, or kids with seizures or epilepsy. All of those kids are going to have more trouble with COVID infection. And that's why we're really pleased that we can offer the vaccine to them. And the vaccine is going to be Moderna, because they were smart enough to have a big enough dose when they were doing their testing. So the 25 microgram, recognizing the adults are 100, the 5 to 11-year-olds are 50 micrograms, and then they cut that by half for the littlest ones. And so when they did their studies, they had pretty good results with their 25 micrograms in two doses. So the two doses will be 8 weeks apart, just like for the adults. If it's an immune compromised kid or a kid who could be seriously ill, then you have the three doses, just like an adult for the immune compromised. Dose one, 4 weeks later, the second, and then the third. And the and Pfizer is in the wings, but they tried a 3 microgram dose, had to bump it up to 10, and it's going to be three doses, and we still don't know when or if that might come. So do not wait for that. Get the Moderna vaccine. So it's really going to help with significant disease. The cool thing is that the littlest ones had a 50% had a 36 the littlest one had a 50% effectiveness in reducing symptoms. That's because their immune systems are so primed, because they're learning about what's new and what isn't constantly. And that's the group I'm most worried about in terms of bronchiolitis, the under twos. And then the 2 years to 5 years had about a 36% reduction in symptoms, which is very similar to what we found in the 5 to 11 and the 12 to 17 and everything else. So the vaccine is behaving as we would expect it would do. I said a stronger response in the really little ones. There weren't any red flags. There weren't any signals, any concerns with the any side effects with the vaccine. The common things are just like with every vaccine: the fatigue, the irritability, the crying, the pain. Parents know all about this. Sleeplessness, a loss of appetite for a very short-term period. Those are very common with any kind of reaction, because the body is reacting to something, and along with that comes those things. So it looks like it's a pretty good vaccine.
That is good to hear. Now, we also know that you have a plan in place, that I say you, the collective you, the health unit has a plan in place for getting these vaccines into the arms of kids when it does, when they are available.
Yeah. So we've sent a notice out to all our primary care providers who, as you know, did a phenomenal job with all age groups, because the research with parents suggests that they would prefer to go to their primary care provider. That's where the kids have gotten the other vaccine. They're used to it. It's a whole big thing. And then we will have some vaccine available in, we're going to call it a specialty clinic for kids. The vaccine comes in a 10 dose vial, and you have to use all of those 10 doses at the same day. So that means that a family physician will likely have a roster of kids that would be eligible for it. Parents may be able to call, or they call then, not sure how that would work out. And when they have 10, then they'll order a vial from us. We'll send it out and they can provide the vaccine. Same thing with us, that parents will be able to sign up for their kids to get the vaccine. And then when we have enough, then we will contact the parents and then we'll arrange to have the vaccine given to the children, probably as like sort of an add-on, either at the beginning or the end of a vaccine clinic, to make it easier. It'll give the nurses more time with the little kids. And the nurses are used to giving vaccines to little ones, because we've continued to give the regular infant and children vaccines at our clinics if people don't have a primary care provider. And we've been doing that for forever. So, and we'll just make sure that we give lots of time for the children and the nurses and the families so that it's a good experience.
Because I imagine you'll have lots of notice. Have you been given any idea whatsoever as to what kind of a timeline we're looking at?
So we're planning for beginning August.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, that is surprised us. They were, because usually when Health Canada approves it, like it takes another month before the vaccine comes. Now the province isn't sure, but they're thinking last week in July. So not all of it. We'll get a smaller shipment to start with, and then we'll get more into August. Yeah, so we're planning first week in August. So everyone keep checking the website. We'll let you know when we get more information from the province, but that's when we would really like to start.
And as soon as we get that information from you, we will be broadcasting it here on Lake 88 as well, and making it available on our website, lanarkleadstoday.ca, so that we can ensure that as many people as possible do know about that so they can make those decisions. We did have a question that came in, really interesting question. And I'm going to just read you the email that we received and then get your response. Am I infectious? I have had long COVID symptoms since January. The onset followed my third immunization with no other exposures. The symptoms improved slightly over time, but increased markedly following my fourth immunization in June. I have been isolating for several months and would like to know if I am a risk to others. I would like to go to my cottage up north, but I know other family members will rush out to visit me, as it has now been years since I've seen them. Also, I am very hesitant to have any more vaccine. Any advice would be welcome.
I'm so glad to receive this question. You are not infectious. You can go up to your
cottage.
There is up to your cottage up north. So at most, you're infectious for 10 days after you have the symptoms of COVID. So the headache, the cough, the fever, the all those usual kinds of things. So for sure, if you had COVID back in January, you're not going to be infectious now unless you became reinfected with it. But then it would be an illness that was different. So if you've had symptoms that are rumbling, if you had had COVID again, then you would have a change. And then 10 days after that, you're going to be okay. So I think unless that's the situation that you just just developed new symptoms in the last 10 days, yes, definitely you can go. And where I'm hearing, I receive all the adverse reaction reports from healthcare providers. So I've seen every single one of them about COVID because I have to sign off on them. And I would say there is a bit of a pattern that if people have an underlying condition, that the inflammation that goes along with the vaccine as the body is creating the antibodies can make those conditions a little bit worse. It's not the vaccine causing it per se, it's the body's immune system sort of responding to it. So that may be what's happened with you. If you're still having symptoms that are bothering you, I would speak to your healthcare provider and really see if there's something else going on. So that would be my advice. I think that if you have sort of chronic conditions, getting COVID is going to be really not good for you. So it's that trade-off. And I think the new vaccine will hopefully give good protection against Omicron. So it is an individual decision, but I wouldn't steer away from the vaccine. Because what you're saying is then I'm going to have to be super, super careful because getting COVID would probably be worse.
And this person's already had a fourth dose, so there's no plans for a fifth dose yet.
Well, there would be in the fall though, right?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm all about the fall.
Okay. And you mentioned in there that you have to sign off on those adverse reaction reports. Do you get a lot of them?
Almost all of them are local reactions. Almost okay. All of them are local reactions. And then they're...
Meaning around where the needle went in.
Yeah, almost all. Some lymphadenopathies, so swollen nodes under the arm, which can happen with a really good immune response. And then I would say just some headaches, like usual kind of things.
The things we've been telling people can happen.
Yeah, and we definitely had some, not very many, but a few pericarditis, myocarditis ones. But you see, those ones are, those were mostly in the first and second doses. And then if people had any kind of hint of it, they didn't get, they got Moderna instead of Pfizer. Mm-hmm. So the usual things that we know about. If people are really interested in that, Public Health Ontario produces a report every couple of months or so outlining all the adverse reactions that have been reported. So what I report and what all the medical officers of health do. And so you can see what kinds of things are reported. Not very many serious ones. And when you balance those with the seriousness of COVID,
yeah.
And as you said, another death, then...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch gears here now. Just a very quick update on the monkeypox situation in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville.
So we have had one person who was diagnosed with monkeypox. There's still quite a few people that have been diagnosed with monkeypox in Toronto, a few in Ottawa, a few so scattered around. The same Public Health Ontario has a report on monkeypox. The experience is that it's most transmissible through the lesions. So the lesions start out with just a macular, so just like people call them just spots, red spots, which quickly turn into little bumps, little pimples, and then they get an indent in them and they got fluid in them and that's a vesicle and then they dry up. And it's the contact with those vesicles that really spreads it. It's not so much the nose and the throat because there's not a lot comes out there. In fact, if someone has lesions, you only test the lesions, you don't even bother with the nose and the throat. So I think we're learning about this one. It's really the close contact with the lesions or very close face-to-face contact without masks on with someone who's in the early stages of monkeypox when they might have it in the back of their nose and the throat. So our message has really been that, that to really avoid close contact with people with lesions, whatever it is, it could be herpes simplex too. It could be syphilis, a canker sore. So I think we're learning a lot more about it. It is polar opposites from COVID, which has confused people in a way, but it's a skin disease. That's the best way to sort of think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also the result of, you know, just this day and age now where, you know, we get so much health information now. the gateways are open so that when something does happen, we find out a lot of information on it. Which is what's happened with monkeypox, I think. You know, we've certainly, information comes in, people put it out there, and then some people think, wow, is this as bad as COVID? So I'm really glad to hear you say
it's very different. Yeah.
It's
interesting because, you know, it's interesting because we have stuff up on our website that links to the provincial stuff, and they always talk about spread by close face-to-face contact. And then they talk about the lesions. We're going to change that. We're going to put the lesions first because it's really the lesions that are significant. Not the, like to have close face-to-face contact, that's a really intimate experience.
Absolutely.
You know, that's not most people. Yeah.
And finally, we're just going to give you the last word about the heat. We've been sharing the messages from the health unit, of course, to stay cool, but we really just wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about, you know, heat and health.
Yeah, it's so important that people respect heat. It seems like, oh, it's just heat, but the heat, our bodies are finely tuned to be able to function within a very limited range of body temperature. Too cold, it shuts down. Too hot, it shuts down. And so know that, remember that. And it's very hot, and it's very close, it's humid. And so people who have any breathing problems, put my hand up for that. I have asthma. I really notice it in these conditions. Our biggest concern, so you know all about the not drinking alcohol because it vasodilates, and you've got all those good kind of messages. I think the people that we're most concerned about are people who are alone, people who don't have air conditioning or don't have fans. When BC had that heat dome experience, was it last summer or the summer before? And they had incredible number of deaths.
Yeah.
Those were mainly people who lived alone and who weren't able to cool themselves down. So please, if you know of someone like that, please go and check on them. And some of the municipalities have opened cooling centers now. Kids, a sprinkler is a good thing to run through. It's really, take it seriously. Lots of information up on our website. I know you do too, but I think my most important message is check on people who may be at risk for getting really, really sick. And the trouble is that the first signs are confusion. And so they don't even know they need to be doing something about it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, doctor, stay cool. And it's a pleasure to speak with you as always. We really appreciate it. As you mentioned, healthunit.org is where you can get just so much information. And speaking of staying cool, you can get information on local beaches as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, plenty of different things out there for sure. And we are so happy that you've joined us once again. We look forward to speaking to you. Oh, hopefully one or two more times before you go.
Yes, but, well, wait till something new comes up. It's coming up regularly. So
There you go. All right, Dr. Stewart, thanks so much for being here. Much appreciated.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Paula Stewart, Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit on this edition of In Focus. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.
In Focus on Lake 88.